Let's start out with the word of prayer. Father, as we come to you today, Lord, we pray that you would have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity and cleanse us from our sin. God, we know that you are a forgiving and loving God. Lord, I pray that we would come before you with clean hearts and clean hands today. Lord, I pray that we are prayed up and ready to worship you, Lord, because yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as the head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hands are power and might, and in your hand is it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. May be honored. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bible, and I hope you do, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We are going to begin in verse 6. I just want to say that it is good to be a child of God, right? To know that we have a God who loves us and cares for us and takes care of us, and we serve a God who is just, he's just fantastic. Words can't describe how good our God is to us. And when we look at our lives and what we deserve and what he has given us through the cross of Christ, it is just amazing to me that he can forgive me and love me, but he does by his wonderful grace. So as we look at this passage, I'm going to read verses 6 through 16. Starting in verse 6, it says, "Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age or the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen or ear heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we received not the spirit of the world, but of the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So when we look at this, there's a lot in this passage. I actually texted Brother Corey yesterday and I said, "I could preach on this thing for hours." He said, "Do it." He said, "Do it." So, I won't try to be up here for hours, but I will try to hit the high points and tell you what the scriptures mean. George Washington Carver said, "How far you go in life depends on your being tender to the young, patient with the old, sympathetic with the striving, tolerant with the weak and strong, because someday you will have been all of these." And I just thought that was fitting. But when we look at verse 6, number one is speaking wisdom to the mature. And we're going to take out the first part of verse 6. "Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature." Society tries to divide everyone, whether it's by race or age, political party, you name it. Society has tried to divide it. But as we have seen in the passages before this and in this one, there's really only one thing that truly divides, one thing that eternally divides, and that is whether you have the Spirit or not, whether you're a believer in Jesus Christ or not. So our believers who Paul is talking about here when he says we speak wisdom to the mature, well, not necessarily. You see, as in normal process of life, as you know, we are born as infants, and then we get to be kids, and then youth, and then adults. Well, the same thing is so for the life of the believer. When we are born again, we are born as infants. You know, only things we can do spiritually is make cooing, cawing sounds. And we can't really understand a whole lot. But as time goes on and as we seek Christ and we seek His Word, we grow and we mature. We become from infants to kids and from kids to youth and from youth to adults. And in this, we are to be growing in our faith continually. We are to be sanctified in Christ and becoming more like Christ as we go about our life. But that's not always the case. Some newer believers, because of their faith and zealousness for Christ, grow faster than some have been in the faith for many years. And some sooner in their life in Christ will grow in faith more and more maturely than some that has been in the faith for many years, because some will be saved and sit stagnant. Paul addresses this in the next passage in 1 Corinthians 3:1-3. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of the flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you're not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now, you are not yet able. For you are still fleshly, for since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men?" So when Paul is speaking here of speaking to the mature, he is speaking to mature believers. Not infants in the faith and not children in the faith, but people who have come along in their faith with Christ. See, the problem with the Corinthians were it's not that they didn't have enough time in the faith with Christ. It's just that they weren't taking the effort and they weren't growing in Christ. They were letting strife, they were letting turmoil, they were letting troubles, they were letting division come in between them. And because of that, they were not growing. They were not seeking the ways and the will of God. They were seeking the ways and the approval of man. And that's why Paul continued to tell them, look, the worldly wisdom is not godly wisdom. Godly wisdom is not worldly wisdom. They don't have nothing to do with each other. It's not Paul is putting down on wisdom or worldly wisdom in that as far as learning about things and growing in different things. We need to be wise in other ways, but our main thing is to be wise in the ways of Christ. So we can sit around and we can be stagnant. We can sit in a pew on Sunday morning and not ever think of Christ again and never become mature in our faith. So I got a question. Is that you? This made me really look at myself and my walk with the Lord, in my prayer life, my reading life, and my meditation life on His Word and my studying with my family. It really made me focus on how am I growing in the Lord? Am I maturing or am I sitting still? Or even worse, am I going backwards? So I can ask you this. Are you growing in your faith? Are you taking steps forward in your faith? Are you learning from the Spirit of God and the wisdom of God to help you to grow, or are you not? And I think that's something we need to ask ourselves every day. First Corinthians 14:20 says, "Brethren, do not be children in your thinking." He said, "Yet in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature." See, they were way ahead in their evil, right? In their thoughts of worldliness. They were way ahead. He said, no, be infants in evil, but be mature in thinking. They had it backwards. They were putting the things of the world first and the things of God second. They were putting the important things behind the things that weren't so important. And we can do that too. We can get so busy in our life, we can focus each day on what the world has for us and never seek what God has for us. He wanted them to grow up in their faith. He wanted them to grow up. Don't just sit there and stay where you are. Still be involving yourself in nonsense, but put on Christ. You have been given the Spirit of God, now act like it. Do we act like it? Are we growing up in Christ? Are we acting like Christ is our Lord and Savior? Are we acting like we're in Christ? Or do we just thank him every once in a while for saving our souls and going about our life and not even think about him again? You see, in Christ, if you are saved, you have everything you need for a godly life. We look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence." You see, when we're saved, we have everything we need for a life of godliness. It is given to us by the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God comes and lives in us, we have everything we need to grow in Christ. Are you growing? He said, "We speak wisdom to the mature." He wasn't able to speak wisdom to the kids. He wasn't able to speak wisdom to the infants, but to the mature. And this source of wisdom is God. We look at verses 6, the second part of verse 6 and 7. It says, "The wisdom, however, not of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are passing away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory." You see, the source of this wisdom is God. He said, we speak, well, I pass it up. Number two, if you have writing it down, is the source and revelation of wisdom. Source and revelation of wisdom is number two. And this source of this wisdom is God. He said, we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. It is hidden wisdom. So if it's a hidden wisdom and a mystery, how can we know it? Because the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, has revealed it through Jesus and revealed it to the apostles and to the prophets, and they have written it. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we know it as the Bible. When we believe in Christ, he illuminates this to us. So maybe you're saying, well, Pastor, what does that really mean? God's special revelation stopped with the apostles. That means there's no new revelation or things from God. But he illuminates, he brings to light his word to us. The reason there's new revelation is because God's word is complete. Nobody's adding books to it. But see, he brings to truth the things that are in this. He brings it to a light. He reveals this wisdom. He illuminates this wisdom to us so that we would know more about God. And so this wisdom is hidden from the world. It is a mystery to those who don't go know Christ. But to us who are being saved, he brings it to life when we spend time in prayer and in the Word. You don't need a priest to tell you what that means. You don't need some holy man to tell you some gibberish. You have the Spirit of God living in you and the Word of God to read and to discern. This wisdom is wisdom concerning Christ. It is the cross and redemption. And its source is God. And we see that the message of the Savior has always been God's plan. All right, so how many of you ever thought about or heard about, well, God made Adam and Eve. And he planned on them being perfect. But when they sinned, they just messed up all of God's plans. Or have you even thought that? Well, guess what? Jesus was the plan from the beginning. Jesus was never plan B. He was always plan A. We serve a sovereign God, and nothing takes him by surprise. Nothing happens outside of his knowledge and his will. So when Adam sinned, yes, God knew he would sin. When we sin, guess what? God knows we will sin. Could God have made us to never sin? Yeah, he could have. He could have made us without the capacity for sin. But then we would never truly know the grace of God. We would never truly know the redemption of Jesus or the love that God demonstrates through the cross of Christ. My favorite verse is Romans 5:8. For God demonstrates his love for us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the gospel, right? While we're yet sinners, God demonstrates his love in the cross of Christ. God's love is sacrificial. See, the angels praise the Lord, but we as believers, we sing a new song. Because the angels know nothing of redemption. We do. We know what it's like to be lost and in the depths of sin. And if you're saved, you also know what it's like to be found in Christ. Praise the Lord for him. Without sin and without the cross, we would never fully know many of God's attributes. We would never know the depths that God lavishly pours out his grace upon us, or the depths of his mercy. We would never know his judgment or justice or even his wrath, but God wants us to know him and to love him and give him glory. So from the beginning, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit predestined that Christ would come and die on a cross for the sins of his people. We also see that this revelation is through the Holy Spirit. The wisdom of Christ and him crucified and the revelation is brought about by the Holy Spirit and could only be understood by the leading and the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Some say that these rulers of this age are the evil that Paul speaks about in Ephesians 6:12. He says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Others say it's Roman and Jewish leaders that put Jesus on the cross that he's talking about. Well, that is a deep discussion, and I could be here all day. But the thing is, either way, without the Holy Spirit, they cannot know the wisdom of God in the cross of Christ. And they are both perishing. This is that hidden wisdom. It was revealed to the apostles and the prophets and illuminated to believers. But hidden from those outside of Christ. Verse 9, just as it is written, things which eye has not seen nor ear heard, and which have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. It is reserved for those who love him. Do you love God? Think about it. Do you love God? Apart from being a believer in Christ, you cannot love God. You can't. Think about this. Do you ever tell God that you love him? And when I was doing this, that song that we sang a little earlier came up in my mind, you know, when I was praying about and going through this message, and I started singing it to myself, and I said, well, maybe I'll put the lyrics in here. Praise God, I don't have to. They was put up there, right? I love you, Lord. Do you tell God that you love him? Do you tell your spouse that you love him? Do you tell your children that you love them or your grandchildren that you love them? I thought about this, you know. I pray and I thank God for a lot of things, praise God for a lot of things. I ask God for a whole lot of things. But how often just do I tell him I love him, knowing that I can love him because he first loved me? And I can't get over that. But anyway. Verse 10, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of a man, which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. No one knows you like you. Right? Your closest loved one doesn't know you like you. They don't know your thoughts or even your intentions. And maybe if they did, they wouldn't like you so much. But no one knows the thoughts of a man or a woman like that woman. And so also no one knows the thoughts of God like the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit knows the thoughts of God and the depths of God because guess what? He is God. We cannot, apart from Christ, know the thoughts of God. We can't. But in verse 12, it says, we have received the Spirit, so we too can know God because He has freely given it to us. Verse 12, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit of who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. So who can know the things of God? When God illuminates to the believer, we can know the things of God. God wants His people to know Him. That is why when we pray, we read scriptures and seek His face, He opens up His word to us and we are truly enlightened by the Holy Spirit. That's just a wonderful thing. We can know the eternal God and be taught the depths of God because we have God, the Holy Spirit, living in us. If you belong to Christ, you have God Himself, the Spirit of God, living in you to help you, to lead you, to guide you, and to bring to light what His Word says. So that leads us to number 3, the words of the Spirit. Verse 13, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. See, Paul goes back here to the difference between human wisdom and the wisdom of God. If you've been with me for the last few weeks, we have been going through human wisdom and the wisdom of God almost every week, right? Or things about it. So in chapter 1, Paul is speaking of wisdom in the way that was presented here. All right, in chapter 1, Paul was speaking of wisdom in the way that it was presented. Here, it's the content of what is said. I missed a comma. So at the beginning of this, Paul was talking about the way they presented themselves. People thought so much of the way people presented themselves, right? The orators, the way they spoke, the depths of their speaking, how they presented themselves, the confidence they presented themselves in. But here, Paul is talking about what is actually said, the content of speech. He said, we speak words taught by human wisdom, but by the Spirit. We don't speak by human wisdom. We speak by the Spirit. Basically, the Apostle Paul was saying that the Holy Spirit has given words to him, and he speaks them to us. And for those who are spiritual, you are able to receive them and be taught them by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are y'all still with me? This word spiritual, it is not like many do use it today. Many people say that they are spiritual. I hear it all the time. I talk to them about Jesus, they will say, well, I'm spiritual. Okay, spiritual in what? Well, I'm just spiritual. I believe in spiritual things. You know, it could be anything. Right? They could be spiritual and be talking about a doorknob. I'm being serious. But when he's talking about spiritual, he's not talking about just any spiritual person. He is talking about those who are mature in Christ. The spiritual person will hear and receive the things of Christ. Paul used this word to indicate that something or someone has to do with the Holy Spirit. So if Paul and the apostles were speaking the wisdom of God through the Spirit, how do we hear this wisdom today? I've already went through this, but we'll... The Word of God, right? It is by reading and hearing the Bible. And I can't stress this enough. We as Christians, and I'm speaking to me, do not spend enough time in the Word. This is God's full special revelation to us. How do we become mature Christians? By spending time with God and doing what He says. Right? That's how we become mature Christians. Spending time with God and doing what He says. It seems like everyone is so busy. We're always on the go. We never stop. Probably none of us. But for the believer, it is imperative that we make time for God. So what does that look like? You probably hear it all the time. We need to spend time with God. We need to put God first. Well, what does that look like? Here are some examples. is by reading and hearing the Bible. Spending time in God's Word, Bible study, meditating on God's Word. When I say meditating, I don't mean like crossing your legs and arms and going, That's not meditating. Meditating on God's Word is filling your mind up with the Word of God. Thinking about it. Going through it. Take a passage and think about it. And go through it and think about it some more. What is this saying? And pray that the Holy Spirit would open up your heart to what He's saying. And just meditating on the truths and the wonders that are in God's Word. Spending time in prayer. Spending time in prayer and Bible with your family. We need to build up our families in Christ. And as our families grow, we will grow, right? But it takes an active effort. We can't expect to come to church once a week and grow in Christ. We can't expect our kids to come to church once a week and grow in Christ. It's just... But the house is our responsibility. Your kids are your responsibility to raise up in Christ. Yes, bring them to church. We love the fellowship and to teach and to... But see, they're going to learn more at home being discipled at home than they will at church. We need to build up our families at home. Fellowship with believers, like we're doing this morning. Like the women are going to do this evening and the men we're going to do when we're with the kids this evening. Right? Fellowship with believers. Disciple one another. Do life together. Honor Christ in your body. These are ways to become mature Christians. And they don't just happen. They are a constant growth in our efforts and God's grace as we grow in Christ. Number four, the spiritual person. The spiritual person. We see that the reception of this wisdom is not possible for the person without the Spirit. The natural person, verse 14, natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. When Paul is talking about the natural person, he is speaking of those who do not know Christ. He said first that they do not accept the things of God, and they cannot accept the things of God. These things of God are God's full wisdom in planning and providing redemption through Christ crucified and the implications for living. What that means is it is through knowing Christ and Him crucified and living out that in our lives. They cannot accept it because it is folly to them. It is foolishness to think that redemption comes through the Messiah who died on a cross, the most terrible and degrading death there is. It just doesn't make sense to the person who is perishing. This isn't a wisdom anyone can learn from a classroom or a job setting. This isn't wisdom that can be taught by philosophy, but only through the Spirit. Even if the Apostle Paul was trying to teach an unbeliever, without the Holy Spirit, they could never grasp it. It doesn't matter if it was Albert Einstein. He may understand the concept, but apart from the Spirit, it would be foolishness to him. It'd be foolishness to anybody other than apart from the Spirit of Christ. You ever get asked by a child, where does God come from? Right? I know we probably all have. Well, where does God come from? You say, God doesn't come from anywhere. He's always been. Well, they'll say, I just can't see that. I can't understand that. No, they can't. Guess what? No one really can. They can't just fathom that there's a God who's eternal apart from the Spirit of Christ. They can't think about the eternal God, a God that is omniscient, a God that is omnipresent, a God that is all-powerful, a God who is eternal. They can't fathom this, can't wrap their minds around this because they don't have the Spirit of God to lead them in that truth. But as believers, we do. We have the Spirit of God to lead us in that truth, in all truth. It is not in the natural person. We also see the reception of this wisdom is possible for the person with the Spirit. Verse 15. The spiritual person judges all things, but he is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The true Christian is dependent on God and does not seek the approval of the world. Everything we have is Christ's, right? Everything we have is because of Christ. Everything we are is because of Him. So why should we seek the approval of people when we need to seek the approval of God? We shouldn't. There are so many people trying to live up, and so many Christians who are trying to keep up with the Joneses, trying to live up to this standard of living. Why? Is it to impress somebody? What about impressing God? Why are we trying to live up to worldly standards that doesn't really matter eternally? When we have an eternal God who loves us and cares for us and looks down to us and helps us in every way, and we are still trying to impress people. When the only thing we should be is a God pleaser and not a people pleaser. And this doesn't mean that we know everything. We see in verse 16, for who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ to teach us and to guide us. But guess what? We'll never know everything. As God teaches us about himself, he's just too big for this little mind to understand. But there are truths that I understand and that you understand because of the Spirit of God. What this also means is that we look at the life, at life, through the teachings of Jesus and through the Word of God. How do you look at life? Do you look at life through the Word? Do you look at life through the teachings of Jesus and the apostles and the Spirit? Or as your day go about, you looking at life by worldly standards. How much money I make, the good food I eat, the clothes I wear, the house I live in, the car I drive, you know. Or do we live life through the teachings of the Word? Be more concerned with caring for others, taking care of widows and orphans, following Christ, no matter what that means, even if it means death. See, I got a question. What if persecution comes? If persecution comes and you're so full of trying to live up to these world standards, right? Are you going to be willing to give your life for Christ, thinking that you never spend your life concerned with Christ? Or are you going to still be worried about the world standards? If they say, if you deny Christ, you'll be able to live. Well, you know what? If you're living up to the world standards, if you're trying your hardest to be approved by the world, when that time comes, you will deny Christ because Christ is not your life. If you're a Christian, Christ must be your life. He has given us the mind of Christ. He has given us the Spirit of God. He is... given us everything we need for a life of godliness through the knowledge of Him. What are we doing with that? There are two groups of people. The world is made up of those without the Spirit and those who are spiritual. I pray that you know Christ today. If you don't know Christ and the Lord is drawing you to Himself, I'd love to talk to you during the invitation or after the invitation. Or you can give me a call anytime, or Brother Corey, anytime. If you need prayer about anything, I'd love to pray with you today. But the main thing is focus, if you're a believer in Christ, focus on your life in Christ. Refocus, maybe, on your life in Christ. And what does that look like in your life? How are you going to follow Christ today? How are you going to lead your family in Christ today? How are you going to raise your children in Christ today? Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Spirit of Christ who lives in believers. God, we thank you for leading us in spirit and truth. God, we thank you for the redemption that is found in the cross of Christ. Lord, I pray that today that each one of us would go out of here living our lives with the thoughts and the mind of Christ, that we would focus on your word, focus on your will, focus on you, God. Help us to be servants who trust you, who follow you, who know you, who spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the unbelieving world. God, forgive us where we fail you. Lead us in truth. In Jesus' name, amen.